welcome to the Forest Lakes District EFCA podcast. Our focus here is to connect, equip, and multiply churches with a vision to glorify God by multiplying transformational churches amongst all people. You are listening to our series called Stories of Discipleship. Our hope is that you will walk away feeling encouraged as we celebrate the amazing things that God is doing in the area of discipleship in our churches, while also equipping one another to be better disciples who multiply other disciples. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Forest Lakes District podcast. As you've probably noticed, we are jumping into another episode of our new series called Stories of Discipleship. And today we're here with Bill Van Kirk. Hi, Bill. Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah.
Do you want to start by telling us a little bit about you and what you do and what season of life you're in? Just anything you're willing to share.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Bill Van Kirk, and I'm with Spring Lake Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm married to my wife, Erica, and we have three kids. Isaiah is 12, Amelia is 10, and Eleanor is 6. And so we're kind of in a fun stage of life. At church, I actually have multiple roles. I oversee one of our campuses as a church. And then also I'm overseeing right now communications and connections as well. And I'm on the teaching team. So I got a full plate at Spring Lake.
Amazing. They didn't throw youth ministry on you or anything like that?
No, I mean, I feel like I've held almost every role besides like maybe worship and children's ministry. Although I kind of oversaw family ministry at one point. So kind of. But I feel like I've done a little bit of everything at Spring Lake Church, and this is just where I'm at right now in this season. So,
awesome.
Just for the record, Bill, generalists make really good church planters, just so you know.
That's showing no bias. Scott, do you want to introduce yourself since no one can see the video?
Sure. Yeah. I'm Scott Sterner, associate superintendent for the Forest Lakes District. So this is my first time jumping on. It's a privilege to be part of it.
And former church planter himself.
That's correct.
So that's where that came from. And I'm sure most of you have heard my voice at this point, but I'm Steph Berg. I'm the communications person here in the district. So I get the privilege of sitting in on all these conversations, and I love it. So obviously we're here to talk just a little bit about discipleship, both within your life and your story, and also the context of your church. And so let's start with you personally. When did you first learn about discipleship, and what was your experience with that?
Yeah. So I would say like the origin story is that when I was 18, I had a couple in my life who I actually knew the lady from one of the monitors of our lunchroom at school. And she told me about a camp called Camp Fort Wilderness in just north of Rhinelander. And her and her husband like super encouraged me to like find out more about the leadership things that they did at this camp. And then as I approached basically like getting out of high school, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to go to this camp for a 9-month discipleship program. At the time it was called In Pursuit. I think it's called True North now.
Wow.
But I jumped into that 9-month discipleship program, and that was my first real big taste of what it means to be discipled and even what that meant in general. And so that whole 9 months was really geared towards spiritual formation that way.
Wow. So when this woman suggested this camp to you, did you grow up in a faith environment, or was that out of the blue? Like, hey, I see leadership in you, go to this camp that just happens to be faith-based. Or did she know that you were growing up in the church?
I mean, I actually grew up in the Methodist church, and they had a really strong youth program and that sort of thing. But what I found, at least from my context at the time, was I felt like I was the only one who took it seriously in my youth group, like the faith side of things. Hmm. I think there was a lot of kids who loved the activities, but for me, it was like, I was really interested in what it meant to follow Jesus. And I think that's probably what she saw, or an inkling of that, and encouraged me to like pursue that deeper.
Oh, that's really cool. After coming home from that program, what did discipleship then look like for you in your everyday normal life?
Yeah. So that really launched a lot of things, because there was so many people through that experience that had built into me. And I really got linked up with a different church in Rhinelander, and started helping with their student ministry program right away. Seeing the importance of discipleship and disciple making. And so I started, being the leader, the small group leader for a group of guys. I spent the summer learning how to teach and how to like be part of a youth ministry that way. And I also joined the adult Sunday school class at that church as well, because I wanted to be discipled. And I just thought, you know, people my age weren't serious enough about it. And so I was like, I'm going to jump into this adult Sunday school. And I really felt like I got discipled really well in that as well. So.
Oh, awesome. So question about, you know, fast forward to current day, you're in ministry, you're in a pastoral position, you're leading a church, discipling people, I assume, and we'll get into that. What does discipleship look like for you right now?
Yeah. So I was actually just thinking about this the other day, that my understanding of discipleship has grown a ton. Mm-hmm. I think when I was younger, I thought I had a very narrow view of discipleship. I thought discipleship is where you sit down one-on-one with another person and they take you through a book that gives you all the basics of the faith. And then at the end, they're discipled. Done-ski, right? Yeah. And I've grown a lot in understanding and seeing how people grow spiritually, that discipleship can actually be a myriad of things. Mm-hmm. And so now I tend to look at discipleship often as seasons. And I can just share like one of my latest things where I really felt like this is discipleship. And it wasn't necessarily what people would think. It was actually a like 2 to 3 month period with a couple where we were doing premarital counseling, and mm-hmm. we're getting them ready because I was officiating them their wedding. And I felt like that 2 to 3 months with them was very much direct discipleship and speaking into their lives, both individually and what that meant for them moving forward for when they became a married couple. And so that's kind of like, you could call that like counseling, right? But I think it was a really focused time of discipleship and really building into them spiritually. And so it was a really cool time period.
Yeah.
You know, one question I've got in that regard, you know, it's, of course, when we're wearing the pastor hat, you know, we're trained, maybe we're credentialed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of transferring information or investing in building into somebody, it seems to kind of come with the job. But like, how have you tried, or what are your thoughts related to the idea of just the average Christian living a disciple-making way of life? How does that look the same or different than even what you just described?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great question. I think, the other piece of that, like zooming out of what discipleship is it really comes down to your relationships, and it comes down to letting people be close enough in your life that they see how you're following Jesus and they can emulate it. And so another area of my life where I think a lot of discipleship happens is not necessarily a mentor-mentee relationship. It is a group of guys that I meet with, and I wouldn't even consider myself necessarily the leader, but what we're doing is mutual discipleship. And so mm-hmm. we have something we're going through right now. We're going through a book called Gospel Powered Parenting, and we're discipling each other. Like, we're letting God's word form us together, and we challenge each other to live and to be, you know, obedient to Christ in this area of our life. And so I think any ordinary Christian can do that. It doesn't have to be you leading a study. It's about a relationship with one another and pointing each other towards Christ and taking those next steps with Jesus wherever you might find yourself.
I loved the word season that you used, because I've experienced a lot of that. And I, when I started my true, what I would call my discipleship journey, it was very much a linear pathway of, it was a campus ministry. So, which is great. I'm so thankful for it. You are a freshman. These are the topics you talk through. And then you're a sophomore, and then you might be assigned somebody to disciple. And that's what it looked like. But then for me, when I transitioned into post-college life or parenting, I was like, well, I can't sustainably do discipleship the way that it looked in the formula that I, in which I was doing it before. And so for me, it looks like bringing younger women into my parenting journey or that mutual discipleship. And so I love the freedom that comes with that, where wherever you're at, whatever your life looks like, there's a place for relationships, which means there's a place for discipleship to happen. So thanks for illuminating that, because that was really helpful for me and freeing too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, Bill, another question I've got just in terms of, in light of your role. I mean, I think, you know, you're part of a well-established church, a larger size church, and that's the, you know, the context of some of our congregations, but they're also, you know, different sizes too. But what does it look like in that context to actually multiply this disciple-making pattern in others? How have you, you know, either seen successes or failures when you try to balance this like life-on-life approach in the context of an established church?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, multiplying disciple-making in your church is difficult because it's not, I think a lot of churches try to make it just a program. Like, we're going to do this program and then you go through it and then you multiply the program. And it's like, actually, no, we want to actually multiply a culture. And the culture is, how are we helping other people follow and love Jesus with our lives? And I think that's something that you just have to like trickle into who you are as a church. And it has to be a value that you have as like a leadership and a staff, on a church staff. It has to, you have to be telling stories of it. You know, when you teach, people need to see it in your lives. I think there's so many things like that where it's like, it's a culture that you have to create of, we're helping others along in their faith journey. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of a question of how do you build that culture?
Do you feel like you have an answer? Not to put you on the spot, but this is the question of the day.
Yeah, I think it is really, like living that out loud. I think I'm a communications guy at our church right now. And I'm learning the power of telling stories is a big piece of that. So just like, you know, setting up this interview and like a lot of your questions to prepare are share with us stories of, you know, what it was like in the beginning. And I think those are really powerful for people to catch the vision of disciple making. And so as a communications person, we're trying really hard to capture those stories and replicate them over and over again so that the story you tell, the hero of the story you tell, is what people want to become. And so if you're telling the story of how this person discipled this person over and over again in your context, people go, I want to do that. I want to be part of that story. And of course, you know, that melds into the grand story of scripture where Jesus disciples his disciples and so on and so forth. And so I think it all fits together.
And I know Steph is probably going to press in on this idea of hearing some of these stories, or at least a story. But before we get there, I want to throw this one at you. So say some, you know, just the average, maybe Christian, they've walked with the Lord for a few years, and they come up to you and say, "Hey, Bill, hey, Pastor Bill," whatever they call you. And they say, "I really want to start discipling people. I really want to intentionally invest in relationships with others. What do I do? How do I do it? Like, what are some things that you would tell them that would help them understand that pathway and really be able to step right into it?"
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I would sit down with them and hear a little bit more about them. A lot of times people are discipling, but they just haven't built that category into their brain yet. It's like asking them, do you have kids? What does discipleship look like at home? Do you pray with your kids? Do you teach at the dinner table? Do you do family devotional? Like, what do you talk to your kids about thinking about things from a biblical standpoint? Well, you know, if you're doing any of those things to some degree or another, you're discipling your family. And so, again, I think there's a, I think, you know, being in ministry now for almost 15 years, it's like, we want to put things in these really distinct, hard categories. This is discipleship. This isn't discipleship. And I think the church needs to hear the message, like, discipleship is sharing your life with other people. And so I would sit down with them and really talk through what that looks like to be intentional to share your life with others and point them towards Jesus. Because some of the most significant disciple making moments for me in my life that really influenced me was when my buddy Jonathan Brood at Fort Wilderness invited me over for dinner, and he never said anything directly from the Bible, but I got to see how he interacted with his kids and how he loved his wife and how he, you know, how they prayed together as a family. And now, like, now that I have my own family and I'm doing those things, I think back at those times and like, that showed me the way. That showed me the way of being a disciple of Jesus in the context of family. So I think that's probably where I'd go with that.
Can we focus in a little bit? Because now I feel like you've brought up discipleship within the home a few times. You said you were reading a book with some other people that maybe sounded like it was centered on parenting and discipleship, and then what you had just shared. So what are some things for you as a parent? So take your pastor hat off and put a parenting hat on. What does that look like for you? Or what do you hope it looks like? I know we have all these goals of this many devotionals per week, and that doesn't always happen, but tell us about your parenting meets discipleship journey.
Sure. Absolutely. I would love to be able to share with you a perfect story.
Me too.
Of discipleship in my family. I would call my discipleship in my home, messy discipleship.
Absolutely.
And so, I would just encourage parents to think about it as seasons. You're going to have seasons where every night after dinner, we sat down and we did devotionals. You know, hopefully there's a season there like that in your life. But if you're not doing that because you have soccer practice and you have volleyball and you have X, Y, and Z and youth group and all these other things, like, it's not that you're failing. Okay. Like, hopefully you can find those seasons, but sometimes it's sitting on the edge of your kid's bed at night and saying, what's something I can pray for you for, you know? Or it's, you know, right now as a family, I feel like we're running everywhere all the time. And so we've been doing this thing about talking to our kids about what's one cool thing that you saw God do this week. And then we say, okay, so that's your one thing. We call that the God win for the week. What's something you want to see happen this week? And what's been really cool about that this coming week, and what's been really cool about that is to share those experiences and those celebrations together. And that's just kind of like the stage we're in. And we pray together as a family, we do those things, but are we spending right now in this season tons of time like reading through the whole Bible? No, I wish we were, but also we have a crazy life right now. And so I look forward to the season where we slow down and jump back into something more directed. But I'm also enjoying the season we're in right now.
I love that. Yeah. I love that there's permission to be organic. And I think so many times, I know in youth ministry specifically, a lot of it is helping students like decode their story and like, where does God fit into this? What is he saying to me in the midst of my current circumstances? And I feel like that's something that's easy for me to transfer home and say, okay, my son and my daughter, my other daughter, they're going through these things. How do I help them see God in the midst of it? And that doesn't always look like reading a devotional every morning during breakfast, but it does look like making them aware that like God is with you. And what does that mean for your life? And what is he saying to you about these things? But I also agree. I feel like every parent ever would raise their hand. If you're like, raise your hand if you wish you did Bible reading every dinner, time you sat down to dinner. But you know, it is that season. I feel like we're in a similar one.
Yeah. I think too, like, again, about like program with your family. A lot of times people feel like if they're not doing a specific program, then they're not discipling. But it's like, I feel like the essence of our family, there's an essence of our family that follows Jesus.
Hmm.
Like we, when there's a tragedy in our lives, we run to Jesus together as a family. When one of our kids are struggling with something, we bring in God's word and we say like, what does God think about this? And how can we help you with this? And let's pray about this. You know, like, I think those are all discipleship moments, even if in that season, we're not in a program of reading through a 365 day devotional.
Yes.
So.
That reminds me. Thing. Yeah. I think Mike Green is the guy who said this. So maybe you've heard this before, Bill, or maybe it comes from someone else, but it's this idea that discipleship is, in one sense, it is instruction. It is imitation. It is immersion.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's talking about God and doing your devotional or whatever, or doing it with your family. It's imitate, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's kind of like, hey, I'm just living this journey, repenting all the way through, you know, and you're witnessing that. And then finally that immersive, right? Just the messiness of, I mean, I still remember a guy discipling me that one of the biggest discipleship lessons was we were sliding on ice in a car while he hit the brakes. He was a terrible driver, by the way, but we were about to hit this car and he was just like, Jesus, help us, Jesus. You know, he's praying. That was his first response instead of, you know, a typical four-letter response. It was just like he went to Jesus in that moment.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll never forget that, you know? And it was just like, anyway, you know, it's just interesting how that, what I'm hearing you describe and stuff you mentioned, it's just kind of that organic, like doing life and the messiness of it as a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
So in the hopes of elevating and displaying stories of discipleship, do any come to mind for you, either from your church context or from your own life? I know we've talked a lot about that, that makes you think, wow, that's discipleship. That's God transforming people through community with one another.
Yeah, absolutely. The funny thing to me is that often the, I guess, best stories of transformation with discipleship are like unintended discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so there was a magical time when I was a youth pastor, and we just happened to have this crop of students that year. Well, it was over a couple years who they just loved to stay after youth group. And you know, I thought they were just wanting to have conversation, but I would teach and we would do the whole youth group thing, all this programming, and then youth group would get done and this handful of students would stay and we would debate theology and we'd go back and forth and we just had like robust stuff. And it was just relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never really thought anything of it. Honestly, I thought this is just, you know, part of student ministry. Well, then years later, one of their dads just randomly came up to me at a different event, a school event, and said, hey, I just want to tell you that when my kids were that age and they were staying after youth group, like they got so much out of that. And after they were done at church, they would come to my house and I'd feed them ice cream and we'd keep on having conversations. And this guy is a pastor and, or was a pastor and now like was a headmaster of a Christian school. And so like he was into theology as well. And so he just told me like how much that time meant to those kids and how it really solidified their faith and went from something that they were told to believe to something that they had wrestled with themselves and really solidified their faith. And so then on top of that, I'm at this event like a year later from this, and one of the sons of this guy comes up to me and says like, that was one of the best discipleship moments of my life, was that time after youth group with you, talking directly with you, getting to answer questions and being in that environment. And he's like, I just want to thank you for how you built into me. And I'm like, you don't always get to see that, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like I sat down in my office during that time period and said, here's my strategy for discipling these students. is after youth group for an hour and a half talking about and debating Calvinism versus Arminian, you know, like that wasn't planned. It just happened. So
that's really cool. And I love the space that the organic nature of that leaves for, you use the word wrestling, questioning, working that out. Because I think if we view discipleship as this, you know, checklist of knowledge that we need to know and feed into someone else's brain, it doesn't leave room for people to say, how does that meet me? Where does my doubt meet what you just said? How does my experience not really feel like, for example, the goodness of God? And so creating that environment where you could just come and ask and be vulnerable and wrestle around and debate. I'd have anxiety being there, but that's fine. I love that. There's a lot of freedom in that. I have, Scott, do you have any other? I feel like you were about to say something.
No, it's good. It's good. I'd love to ask one other one just related to that, because our primary audience is ministry leaders of all kinds and all spaces. Mm-hmm. And after hearing you, I'm putting myself in their shoes, like, oh, okay. So Bill had this like open time where there's just opportunities for conversation. And I just got done listening to the biography of Tim Keller. And that was actually part of his story too, is they would always have open discussion at his house for years. And when he started as a pastor, and those are the most formative times. So this leads to the question, how do you think church leaders in general can make space for this, no matter how they're leading? Like, what does it look like to make space for those disciple-making environments to emerge?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I would like to explore that more myself, because I think a lot of them are organic. They just happen. Like the lobby after a church service is just the space of discipleship as well. But I think you could be more intentional about that as well. I think giving people a forum and a format to do that, where there can just be openness and a discussion, would be really cool to experiment more with that. But yeah, absolutely. I wish I had like a more set answer for that one, but I think it's an experiment.
No, that's great. Well, yeah. It just triggered me. Like, that example is so powerful. And I just want, you know, I think it demands space, right? Which a lot of times there's a frantic program driven, like, I've got to get this done, you know? But what if we actually built into those systems rhythms of space to just connect, right? And at some kind of deeper heart level. So I don't have an answer either. I'm just like, but it's an interesting thing for us to ponder, I think.
And maybe that's where those programs are actually super helpful. Maybe that's where saying, you know, I'm going to be a small group leader at youth group on a Wednesday night, or I'm going to be a children's minister. Right? In some churches, they have coaching structures where you're coaching leaders of small groups of students or whatever that is, where that's your in, right? Like, that's your starting point. But that's not necessarily the end game. Yes, you're signing up for something. You're putting your name on a piece of paper. You're getting background checked, all of those things. But maybe that's where those programs are so necessary, because we run our lives on a schedule, and that doesn't leave room for things to happen organically. So we do need an inroad. And so maybe that inroad is those programs. And then just having a mindset of, Holy Spirit, keep me open to what you would have beyond this hour and a half, 2 hours on a Wednesday night, or this Sunday morning during second service when the small group meets, or whatever it is. But I think there's beauty in those programs, because it can bring those moments out. Because yours happened after youth group on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And that was a program. Yeah. And that's where it all started. So
yep.
Do you have any key resources? This might be an out of the blue question that I didn't give you to prepare for, but when you think about discipleship, or you think about things you're reading right now that have really aided in your discipleship knowledge and journey, what comes to mind?
Yeah. I mean, I've used so many different resources over the years. You know, I've met people, like, I remember when I first started with, doing one-on-one discipleship with people, it was like, oh, we're going to go through the blue book. There's a blue book out there, the blue book of discipleship. Mm-hmm. And it just like takes you through all these things. And those are great. I mean, I think those resources are great. I actually tend to really love the stuff by the Navigators. I feel like the Navigators are like, they got discipleship. Like they know discipleship super well.
Yes.
And one that's been really helpful for me is often if I'm meeting with somebody one-on-one who I don't know their background, or I feel like they're asking the big questions of faith, I'll do Assurance of Salvation with them. Mm-hmm. That Navigator book, I don't know if that's the exact title of it, but that's what it's about. And then that one's good because the way it talks about the gospel really helps solidify it or brings up the right questions to talk to them about. So that one's really good for someone who you're like, I don't know where they are spiritually. That's a good starting point. And then the other one I like from them is Life in Christ. That one's a really good one from the Navigators as well. It just begins to really kind of show you like where you need to go. But honestly, I like to tailor things. I like to tailor the discipleship materials that I'm using to the situation. So obviously I'm not going to do Assurance of Salvation when I'm taking a premarital couple through premarital counseling. I use a different book for that, you know? So it really depends on where they're at is what I use. So, yeah.
Awesome. I'll look up some links. And I know our last conversation was with a woman named Cindy, and she was talking about the book Gospel Fluency and a couple others. And I linked them underneath so that if people wanted to check those out, they could. So I will try to find those. My brother was a Navigator, so he'll probably be able to shed some light on that for me. And I'll link those up in case people are interested.
Yeah, great.
Any other final closing discipleship thoughts that come to mind before we
I will just say this. If you're in ministry, you know this already, but I think it's just a reminder to stay faithful, to continue to disciple, even when you have mixed results. And the reason I say that is because, you know, it's easy to get on a podcast and say, of all these great, you know, outcomes, and I shared one of the highlight stories of discipling people, but there's an equal number of ones that didn't turn out well. And people who fell away from the faith, and those things grieve me and hurt my heart. But I also know that like, it's not necessarily about the outcome. It's about what God is calling you to be faithful to. And God has called us to be disciple makers in our lives. And so to continue to persist, even when you see, oh man, you know, I discipled this kid 14 years ago and now they're a wreck. It's like, well, you know, God's in charge of the outcome. You were called to be faithful and to be as effective as possible as you could be. And so keep going. Don't grow weary in doing good, but keep going. And so that's probably what I would say to people. Yeah.
Awesome. Scott, do you want to pray us out?
Absolutely. Would love to do so. Father, thanks so much for this chance to connect with Bill. And I just really appreciate Father, his heart for discipleship and how he's multiplying that and has multiplied that in so many different contexts throughout his life and ministry. And Father, we're talking to him because we've seen that. And we've observed that as a district in his life. And so just pray for continued flourishing in that regard. And Father, just pray too, just the words that were shared today. I think there's just this redundant idea of an immersive, organic way of doing life. And it is a space, Father, where we can instruct and we can invite others to imitate and also just get in the weeds of even our own messes or the sufferings of life. And it's just, I thank you for that way that Bill shared that really dismantled the complexity in so many ways and really put it on the core level of just like doing the one another's, right? Of bearing one another's burdens, of building one another up in love, of encouraging one another, of just talking about the ways of Jesus and what does it mean to do that as we live our lives. And so, yeah, I just thank you for that. I know that's going to be an encouragement to others, just as it was for me in step two. And so just to continue to multiply, we pray throughout the district, this disciple-making way of life and the importance for figuring out, you know, how can we better multiply this in the various places where you've called us to lead and to live and play. And so we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Forest Lakes District podcast. To connect with us or for more resources like this one, you can visit our website, www.forestlakes-efca.org.